Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. So good to be here. Literally the delight of my day is sitting here studying God's word with you. Amen. It is like I look at my calendar and I'm like, oh man, yeah, I get to preach tomorrow. You know, I get to do this. I get to study God's word with you, because trust me, you best believe that when we're doing this together, this isn't just coming to mind, that I'm also studying this with you. We are learning it together, because no matter how many times you read God's word, there's more that the Lord will reveal to you. That's why God calls it the living word. And at the same time, I want to make sure we don't miss anything. The beauty of these little 15-minute episodes is we can really hit like these little points. And if we don't get to it, we can get to it the next one. And we don't have to miss anything. We're not trying to squeeze in something into a, you know, 30-minute sermon or hour-long sermon or into a day-long course or something. We're not squeezing anything in or having to leave stuff out. So it is such a joy to be here today, and hopefully you're doing good. Hopefully you've got a great cup of coffee or something there with you. Amen. I'm looking forward to making me some just as soon as we finish up. But I'm going to start this episode a little different. Lord gave me this here as I was praying over the show. I'm going to tell you a story, okay? So just bear with me and listen to this story. There was a dad, and he had two children. And he told both children the same thing, okay? He said, okay, they lived in a house, and it was like a regular house, like a rectangular house like you would see. And they said, he told the kids, he said, all right, kids, tomorrow morning, I want you to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I want you to go outside the house, and I want you to go in front of the house to a field, and you will see, as you walk out of the house in that field, you will see a box full of gold. I want you to pick it up, and I want you to keep it and have it for yourself. Okay. And he tells the kids that, and the kids, they make sure they understand. And then he leaves. Okay. Let's say he goes off to work. All right. And let's say one child is very close to their dad and they are so excited for the next day. They could practically see that big box of gold and they're going to just be so blessed to get that gold. They're already imagining how great it's going to be to have what their dad has promised them. And the other one, the other child, doesn't really care for his dad and doesn't really believe him or doesn't like him, doesn't want anything to do with him, kind of was half listening, thought his dad might be joking, doesn't really care, is much more interested in other things and other people. And so when 7 o'clock comes in the morning the next day, the child that loves the dad gets up and runs out to that field, and lo and behold, there's the gold. 7 o'clock in the morning for the other child is still sleeping, and they are sleeping and they don't bother to get up. They don't even think about it. That right there is what happened with Noah and the ark. You had one child, Noah, who was close to God and believed God and did what God called him to do, as unusual as it might have been, and did those things over the course of 600 years before the world was flooded. And you had the disobedient child, and we'll call them children, and I believe that number being in the billions, with a B, billions of people, that did not believe their father, their creator, right? Did not believe God, did not believe in him enough to stop their wicked ways, did not adhere to God's instructions, which you say, well, how do you know that God spoke to him? Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. God spoke to them through his preacher. Throughout the Bible, God uses his creation, those obedient, godly individuals, to preach to the wicked unbelievers. Look at the book of Jeremiah, right? I mean, he is telling the Israelites to get right with God before what? Judgment, before punishment. God used Jeremiah. Sometimes it's brutal to be used by God because they're told to get naked or eat their own feces or, you know, go in and move in with a widow that has no food. You know, it's not hard. It's not easy to be God's mouthpiece sometimes, but it's very profitable. And I know that they had a heavenly reward for it. And for all times, we can see in the Bible what God's done through those people. But this is the story of Noah. You have one that does one thing, and you have another that does another, and you have the consequences raining down. And you have Noah in the Hebrews Hall of Fame, if you will, Hall of Champions, where you have Noah recognized as a great man of faith, a preacher of righteousness, and you have what? The unbelievers that are forgotten. You don't know much about them at all. Like, look at the line of Cain. It just stops. They just die. You know, they thought they were something special. They're killing each other. They're living brutally. They're living in grave sin. Their wickedness has come up before God, and they're gone. They're forgotten. They have nothing. The Bible says that those that disobey God will have no rest. Amen. That's in Revelation. Speaking of those that have been disobedient to God, they will have no rest. I don't know about you, but I want that heavenly rest. I believe that's where Noah is today. I believe that we can have that as we enter in that ark of salvation that is Jesus Christ, because all of this is a picture of all, will we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? And when we do, we are protected from the judgment to come. We are protected from everything because of Jesus Christ being our ark. So we'll take a break and we'll get back to Genesis 7 when we come back from this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so what we'll do here is just read a few verses, Genesis 7, verse 8, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went into unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Okay, so that's Genesis 7, 8, 9, and 10. And as we see these verses, we see that of the clean and unclean beasts and the birds all went into the ark. So nothing was left out. Amen. Everything is going into the ark. And so what we get a picture of is that the animals were saved. Like nothing was left out, right? We just talked about the judgment of people and that hardly anyone was saved of the people, right? At what is 8 out of, say, 5 billion, you know? I don't know, but that's a very small percentage, right? And yet all the animals were saved. And so why did God save all the animals and not the people? Because people have something unique. If you look at animals, they don't have feelings like we have. Now, they may have some kind of like, oh, they know when something hurts or whatever, but they don't have complex emotions. They don't have this soul that we have that God gives us, which comes with, guess what? Free will. Animals don't have free will. The bird flies south in the winter because the instinct that God gave that bird is to fly south in the winter, right? The squirrel buries the nut because the instinct that God gave the squirrel was to bury the nut, right? God gives animals instincts, but they don't have free will. They're not cognizant of what's going on. You could read the Bible to an animal and it won't really be able to comprehend what the Bible is saying. But you read the Bible to a person and they are given that knowledge. An animal can look at creation and look at it just as it would for its own survival or what it would do, right? But God gives us the ability to look at creation and see that there's an intelligent designer, a creator. The Bible says we're made in the image of God. And so we see here in verse 8 that God saves the animals, but not the people, because people had free will and they would not believe in God. And this goes deeper than God sending a flood, believe in God. This goes deeper than that. This goes back to the time of Adam and Eve. And this goes back to the idea of living godly, that God created all things and that all things are made by him and for him. And without him was nothing created. This goes back to the rebellion of man in general, that they were just falling far, far away from God as soon as who? Adam and Eve, his first creation. And then as soon as who? Cain killing Abel. You know, his first, the first creation of his creation. And so we see this sin happening immediately in the Garden of Eden. We see it playing out and coming to a climax, a crescendo here with Noah and the ark. And we see that God will save all the animals, every single one, but he's not saving the people because they don't believe. Their unbelief is what killed them. Their unbelief is what made them perish. What happens today? You know, what is, do, have things changed? Has God changed his ways? Has man changed his ways? No, we are at the same point. In fact, Jesus tells us that it's going to be like the times of Noah in the end times. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's pretty clear. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus telegraphs it here for us that what it was back then, it will be again. And that in that time, first of all, Jesus is also giving credence and credibility that God's word is completely true. So anybody that was looking at Noah's ark as some kind of allegory or example or metaphor, no, it's true. God, you know, Jesus is giving credibility to that. And not only that, and I believe that's intentional, by the way, but that also people will be surprised. And you say, Brother Clark, how could they be surprised? I mean, we've talked so much about it because they're not listening to Bible teaching. They're not spending time studying God's word. They're not sitting there getting in with rapt attention, looking at every line. Because guess what would happen? It's the living word. That word would convict them and save them, but they won't get in it. And by the way, God won't give them understanding lest they're saved when they shouldn't be, because they are wicked and they're full of unbelief. God knows the heart. God looks upon the heart. And so we see here that nothing has changed. And just today, I mean, again, somewhere, somebody's getting married today. It's springtime, so I'm sure as we record this, people are getting married. Tonight, there'll be some party somewhere. You know, people are going out having fun. They're going to work. They're making plans. You know, they're doing, you know, someone's sitting there with their retirement cast, you know, projecting out 35 years, like there's going to be 35 years, all of these things. And then at a moment's notice, like a thief in the night, okay, completely by surprise, the judgment comes and they won't know it until it's too late, right? They will not know it until it's too late. We see here that God was very orderly. He had them go in two by two. And he had them go in to who? He had them go in to Noah. Amen. Verse 9 of Genesis 7, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And so we have the male and the female. And guess what we do? We have God commanding and giving Noah instructions and using Noah in his work. So we see Noah obedient and having faith. And then we see the fruit of that is God using him. God uses man in his work. To serve God, we must first believe in God. It wasn't like Noah was serving God and then came to belief in God. It was Noah was believing in God and then was able to serve God. And we see that here perfectly in verse 9. And finally in verse 10, what do we see? 7 days passes. Amen. God's number of completion. And this I've also heard it referred to as a time of testing. Verse 10 of Genesis 7. And it came to pass after 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Okay, 7 days. So there was that time period that people could have repented, that people could have come into the ark. And by the way, conversely, there was that time period that people could have gotten off the ark. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty fidgety for 7 minutes or 7 hours. I mean, forget it. You know, like by the time it's morning time, I'm ready to hop out of bed right now. You know, if I'm in a meeting or something like that, after 30 minutes to an hour, I'm ready to go, you know. Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were in that ark 7 days. So it wasn't just testing those on the outside if they would come in, but testing those on the inside if they would then just leave and come and go out and say, you know what, this is crazy. You imagine after 20, 30 minutes, oh, there's no rain, you know, 7 days, amen. God's perfect, amen. And he calls us to have faith. He calls us, it didn't say 7 years. He wasn't doing something completely unreasonable. In fact, I believe God in his love and mercy was allowing them time to prepare the ark for the flood that was to come. So that 7 days was probably a prep period, not just time of testing. I'm sure they were very busy getting all the animals together, figuring out how they were going to feed them, getting their supplies together, moving things around, et cetera, et cetera. So when the flood came, guess what? They were prepared. And isn't that God poetic and mercifully allowing man to be prepared for what is to come and saving man? God shut the ark himself. He saved man. He'll save you. Tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 7. Thank you for listening. God bless. Amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.